You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, hey, in a few minutes here, I'm going to want to start getting a lot more text messages and conversations with some of y'all. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in, call it in, same number for both. We have talked today so far about our strategic response or lack thereof to the Iranian aggression. We have talked about the border bill that came out last night in D.C. And we are now switching gears and going into dipper number three. And we're on the line right now with State Senator Sam Gavan. State Senator Gavan represents the Huntsville area. He is a practicing attorney himself. He's also, I believe, vice chair of judiciary. And the Senate and the House both go into session tomorrow when the legislature convenes for the 2024 general or regular session. That being said, State Senator Sam Gavan, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for making time. I know you're down there in Montgomery right now. Budget hearings, I think you said, right?
Yeah. We had budget hearings today. They've already, with their budget request, pretty much broke the state again. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. One thing that came up today, and Greg Allbritton took him to task about it a little bit. I mean, he was very nice about it. He referred to it as a tirade. It wasn't a tirade at all. Believe me, I know what a tirade is. It was a commentary, and it's on how some of these state agencies will refer to a consent decree they entered into. And then basically we got to fund it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, in fact, the Department of Public Health did that. That's one of many things they've done that irked me. And it was represented that it was not really a monetary thing, but I know they did enter to a consent decree.
I'll tell you what else they do, too. And I think they do it a little less than they used to, because it was like one of my personal passions was I found out how many of these state agencies have what we call rollover accounts, which means they don't spend everything they got from their previous year's appropriations. And then some of them actually have money-making opportunities where they actually generate revenue within their departmental's procedures. And then they just harbor that money, but they still come back for their full appropriation plus some the next year. And I finally started going, wait a minute. And I basically made each one of them provide us evidence of how much they have in their rollover accounts, and it was shocking how many of them are sitting on money while they ask for more.
Well, maybe need to get Representative Easterbrook to add that to his list, because he was hitting everybody today, and he wasn't being malicious. I mean, even, like with Aaliyah, he brought it up. He said, look, I think state troopers need to be paid more, but I want to know how they're paid, and, show me your budget over the last 5 years. I want to know what they make in relation to our border states, and I thought that was some good questions to ask. In terms of, where are we relative to our peers? And, I think peers are really what we've got to look at there is, obviously Florida is a much bigger state than us. Georgia is a much bigger state. We can go on and on about distinguishments. But if you're on a border county, what's it going to take from, keep an Alabama resident from stepping across the line into Georgia and being a state trooper there rather than a state trooper here? Yeah. Same thing for teachers and so on. So we do need to know what our border states are doing.
Well, that's not a bad thought. And same thing with like teacher, educator funding and that kind of stuff. I get it. But let me ask you this in terms of things you guys are going to deal with. And right now, I hear a full slate. I mean, there's always a full slate. In fact, there's 99% of what happens during a legislative session, I know firsthand, never makes the headlines. A lot of it is things you have to do to tweak prior years because life changes and you got to update the legislation. But then you've got some major things coming. Potential for school choice. You got a potential for gambling. You got some other red meat issues in there. Out of all of it, what is your favorite piece of legislation you're looking forward to getting on the floor with?
My state health officer bill, of course.
Yeah, bring it.
So I'll expect to file that tomorrow. I want to see if I can get a couple more signatures on here and go with that. And that's going to be, you know, I just had somebody come to me and ask me to carry a piece of legislation that the medical association would be opposed to. And I shook my head and I'm like, you know, I've got one bill right there. And that's the one I'm going to battle with on that front. You know, I'll have a number of cleanup bills. You know, we'll probably need to do a little cleanup on the notary bill that we passed last year. And there's an election law cleanup that the probate judges are asking me to carry. I'll take a look at that. And there are, you know, a few bills here and there, but I do want to focus this year on the state health officer bill. I think that as far as just what issues are going to be up, I tell you, I've gotten a lot of a whole lot, but from my friends, some of whom actually voted for me, but on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, constituents, and I read all my constituent emails, and they're worried about the ballot harvesting bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, my response to that is it's going to change drastically from what I've been told. And so I think a lot of the concerns that they're expressing, you know, where we don't want to kind of, you know, we don't want to put grandma in jail for helping out somebody in her Sunday school class, you know, get an absentee ballot. But, you know, I think there has been some serious abuses, and we can focus on those abuses in those counties that, you know, there are some counties just have an unbelievably high absentee ballot rate. And you know, it's just, and we can look at some stories there, and especially in the,
I think there's definitely
more people voting than there are alive.
Yeah. Uniontown had like 110% of the population voted a few years back. It was unreal. But there's certainly room for a common sense ballot harvesting bill, but I think it's an extremely important issue, especially to get done ahead of the 2024 elections.
Correct. And then school choice is obviously going to be front and center, and I'm expecting the governor to headline that tomorrow night in our State of the State address. And I'm not going to relay what I do, you know, what little insight I've been given into it. So I'm going to let her lay that out. But I will just say I'm encouraged, and I'll leave it at that. That it's because I was worried that it was just going to be, you know, there was going to be, and look, the attempt may still come, because what I keep hearing from our friends with AEA is, you know, accountability, things like that. As opposed to let the parents have control of this. And I just, you know, I think there's going to be a reasonable solution to that. And I do have a backup to, amendment that I would make, which would be that, and it's not called SACS anymore, but whatever used to be the accrediting organization formerly known as SACS. You know, if some people get too cute about trying to amend, I don't want to carve out anybody that is accredited by SACS, that period, they don't have to do anything extra. Just keep your accreditation with SACS and all that.
Well, I mean, I think,
because there are a lot of private schools out there that are doing things the right way, and they're not going to change to be able to get this money.
They shouldn't have to, and the parents also should not have to. I mean, I think one of the things that people are going to be looking at is it really school choice if the parents who chose not to be in the public school system still have to be subjected to public school system accountability? That's really where the bill is going to begin to unravel, and I think that's one of the key issues. But hey, listen, with about two and a half minutes left, one of the other, you know, big elephants in the room is the gambling bill. We have an omnibus gambling bill that was, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm frustrated with the idea that it was kept away from the members. It was put in a room where they could drive to Montgomery and view it in person, but no one was allowed to have a copy of it until it's filed. Which I think is completely, this is me talking, you don't have to affirm this or deny it, but I think it's completely disrespectful of the members of the body who were duly elected to their positions. That being said, is this thing going to pass the House, and do you think it even has the votes in the Senate?
You know, I'm not so sure that it's going to pass the House, just some different things that I'm hearing anecdotally, but, you know, it's tough to say, because people come with, you know, with different viewpoints. I mean, you and I have a very similar viewpoint on this, and So, you know, sometimes we can hear what we want to hear and perceive what we want to perceive. And I know former Senator Marsh did that, because when I sat down, we had the first gambling vote. I told him, sat down in his office, I said, "You don't have the votes." He said, "Oh, yeah, I do." And he goes on and on. And he goes through this list, and I'm like, "He's a no vote." He goes, "Oh, no, no, he's a yes." I said, "No, he's a no." And I was right on every one of them. And then, you know, then they made some changes to it and some adjustments, and then they were able to get several of those, and others, by the way, over to a yes. So, you know, that's just the sausage-making process. But I still don't see the votes in the Senate if they're able to make it through the House, and that's without a filibuster. I just don't see the votes.
Well, and then on top of that, it's a constitutional amendment, which raises the bar even further, right?
Right, yeah. You have to have 21. I mean, I think they get them. Well, maybe get a majority. I'm not sure right now they get a majority, but they sure can't get 21.
Well, I would agree with that. And listen, you guys kick off tomorrow. I know you've got you've had a full day of budget hearings now. You're going to be down there tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to have a caucus meeting before you go in. And there are days when I miss
caucus
being a part of the
Wednesday.
Process. Oh, I'm sorry. Caucus meeting on Wednesday. Good. Well, then, listen, there are days when I miss being among the members of the body, and there's a lot of days that I don't. But I certainly appreciate the sacrifices y'all make in doing this. And so, listen, keep us posted, and we'll have you on throughout the session periodically if you don't mind.
That sounds great. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you. State Senator Sam Gavan from Huntsville. Listen, and I'm going to be honest with you. There is a lot of stuff coming, y'all. I mean, it's going to start coming fast and furious. We're going to try and keep track of it, especially the big-ticket items. But I would just encourage you, know who your state representative and state senator are. Do you know? If you don't know, man, go find out, because they are completely accessible. They are there to serve you. Regardless of what you may think about them, you may find out they're just normal people, and sometimes a reasoned call from a constituent who understands the issue can make the biggest difference in the world. I can tell you from firsthand experience. All right, more of this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.